call the meeting to order. And quick attendance.
Legislator Donaldson.
Present.
Legislator Roberts.
Here.
Legislator Heppner.
Here.
Legislator Ronk.
I'm here.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Present.
Chairwoman Bartels.
Here.
Alrighty, everybody's present. And then some. Alrighty, I'd like to get an approval of the minutes for the August 19th meeting.
Move them. Second.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Having none? First on the agenda is setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 23 of 2018, local law entitled Ulster County Ethics Law, to be held on Thursday, October 10, 2019 at 6:10 p.m.
I'll move it.
Second.
Moved and seconded.
Minority counsel is on his way. I think that there's going to be some discussion had. We can start talking about it, but if things come up on the legal side, I'd prefer to wait for him.
Well, yeah, would you withdraw the first and second, and we'll move
I'll withdraw my second.
Well, no, I mean, you still can move the second, then you move to postpone. That's all. Or move to,
move
the table is actually what you want to do. What you want to do right now is you actually want a table, so you can actually bring it off the table afterwards.
Sure. I make a motion to table it for the time being.
If you actually don't move and second it, then technically speaking, then the resolution didn't get moved and seconded. So that's why it's like we could just postpone it or table it, whatever. Pick whichever one you want to do.
All right. Well, if you want to table it for the 20 minutes.
Move we put it on the table for the time being. We'll
yep.
Table it until the council gets here. All right, we'll move on to resolution number 373. It is a public hearing on local law, amending the local law number 3 of 2019, and this is the local law establishing the Ulster County Electrical Licensing Board.
All right,
I'll
move for discussion.
Second.
Moved and second for discussion. Okay, let's discuss.
The amendments are in bold. Is that correct, Jay? Sorry.
You have both the adopted law with the proposed local law amendments incorporated within, as was requested at the last committee meeting, and then you also have in the OneDrive proposed local law number 7, which has those same amendments, and then the ones that we spoke about earlier are red.
And we all have copies of that, I guess, at this point in our package, right? So before we get too deep into this, I know that one of the changes, and by the way, you know, these amendments were at the request of, you know, the county executive's office and county attorney. I know, actually, Jen, you're here, which is great. There was some discussion, I think, at our last meeting with regard to solar installers. So that is at the moment listed as a Class C license, but if for some reason we want to have a discussion as to whether or not solar installers should be licensed at all, I guess that maybe, I think that was actually something that you had raised, right? Yeah.
Which would also, it's the same question for me for cable and internet and installers, since they've been operating not as electricians for time immemorial, so far as I can tell.
One of the electricians who lives in my district proposed that we use a voltage cutoff of below 50 volts is generally not considered electrical work. So that's one potential way to do this. That way you don't have to list out all of the things. That, however, would not, I think, cover the solar installers because they do sometimes deal with higher voltages than that. But cable and internet and phone systems are very low voltage. So it's one way to deal with it. The other would be not to include those professions in our definition of electrical contractor, to leave that definition as it was initially, and then add in something if we think it needs to be added in. Because I don't think that was one of the problematic areas of the law as originally written.
Two things. Was there, so this definition of electrical contractor is totally new. It's correct. In bold, and it came from Rockland County. Did it replace another definition of electrical contractor, or was there just no definition of electrical contractor in the previous draft?
There was no definition.
Okay. So, and in terms of solar, I mean, my understanding is, you know, you can get a license to be a solar installer, which is very different than a license to be an electrician, but you can't fully install a solar system without a licensed electrician. So I could go to Ulster County Community College, take the course, become a licensed solar installer, and after a certain amount of time, but I can't do the tie-in. So I think these are two different things we're talking about. You ultimately absolutely have to tie in, but that's a licensed electrician who's required to do it. But I mean, already. I don't know of anyone who's out there real tying in to Central Hudson.
Right. But we have to decide whether or not our license will cover one or the other or both.
But I'm saying that there's already an apparatus set up. There are already courses set up, and a whole definition of what it is to be a solar installer that doesn't have anything to do with being an electrician.
Yeah, but I think it would, in other words, it's the hookup, you know, where you're hooking up to the main, or you're going into the circuit breakers and you're changing things around, then you would need
an electrician to do that.
For that.
You do, yes. But you can be a licensed solar installer without being an electrician, and then you have an electrician on your team that does the tie-in.
Right.
Or you hire an outside electrician. So you're still a solar installer.
I support that, but what would be the language for it in...
I didn't have a problem before this language was all added, because this added language put in all these cable and low-voltage things. You know, next thing, you're installing a wired stereo system, and you're under the electrician's license with just those kinds of wires. So, I don't know, but...
So, I think if you're installing a stereo system.
Right now, Spectrum is under this. Right now, before this read, Spectrum would have to be, everyone working for Spectrum and coming to the house would have to be an electrician.
Well, I got a Class C electrician license.
Well, that's added, but why does someone who is working with cable have to be an electrician?
You don't.
I feel like we're creating, these amendments have created a problem that didn't exist before. What I'm saying.
Check it out.
To clarify, the law that you guys wrote doesn't require everyone to be licensed. It requires some person at the company to be licensed, and whoever's doing the installing can work under them. That's transferred. Prior to the addition of definitions, there is still language in your old law that refers to installation, erection, alteration, or repair of...
What page are you on?
Of the old law, page 20.
Okay.
Or repair of electrical wiring, apparatus, fixtures, devices, appliances, or equipment in violation. So that's kind of a list of what would be looked at. So the intent with the new definitions was just to add clarity, not to change any of the law. But there is that pre-existing language in there, just so you're aware.
So if we were to go both, but if we were to go and to remove or specifically exclude the items listed by the chair, we need to do that in the definition section, correct?
We could do that.
And Jay, what page? That would be on page...
Two.
Two, right? Okay. I was stuck on the ethics law.
So I agree that having these defined right up front in the definitions is a benefit. You know, you shouldn't have to read page 20 to figure out who's covered by the law. So that's good. But what goes in them, I think we need to be careful.
I don't tend to agree. I do agree that cable, internet, and phone installers should not be included. I do think that the solar company should have a licensed electrician employed by them and have the solar installers work underneath them. That seems like a no-brainer to me. As somebody who, you know, had a solar, array installed on his house, I know that there are things that have to be done by an electrician. Hooking up to the
service.
Yeah, connect to the service, connecting the service to the DC inverter.
Cutting into breakers, right?
One of the issues I have, I think that Jen's point solves my concern in that the installers themselves would be working underneath the license of the electrician, but they would still be required to have a license.
All right. Well, if I may, Ivan.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So I guess at this time then, Ken, you're the co-sponsor. Do you want to move to delete on page 2 under the Class C license to delete out?
Cable, internet, and phone service. The phone installer
basically include element to the installers of solar cable, internet, and phone systems there, and then to basically have, I guess it would technically be on page 10. I guess it would be H to actually then include the solar installer as an exempted, considering that the electrician, they would be working under the electrician.
Well, the electrician would be employed by the solar company.
At that point.
So I don't. I think. Does that solve the problem? I don't know if that solves the problem.
You got your phone done? Go ahead.
I have a concern with that in the sense of just from what I know from speaking to local electricians, is that a lot of the solar companies locally, I mean, it's not a ton, but the ones, is that they contract with local independent. Electricians. That's how they go about it. So, when you're if by this law we're forcing them to have
one on staff,
electricians that we're taking work away, we're taking work away from small business / independent contractors locally.
Just to follow up on that. On page 20, employing an unlicensed subcontractor or subcontractors to perform electrical work or any combination thereof. That solves that problem.
What page is that?
It's page 20, under section 19, subsection 10.
How does it solve the problem?
That doesn't solve the problem of having to put someone on staff.
No. What I'm saying is if we eliminate the requirement to have solar installers included, then number 10 stops solar installers from being able to employ a subcontractor who does electrical work, without a license.
Tracy.
I agree with Kevin. I think as long as we're protecting the right for these companies to use independent contractors, I think it's good that the protection's in the law, but they have to be a licensed electrician to do the tie-in. You'd never get the approval from Central Hudson without a licensed electrician doing that. But I also wanted to point out on page 2 of the law, in addition to the removing the red you talked about, in the definitions of electrical contractor and electrical work, there's language, and this is actually what first drew my attention to it. Under electrical contractor, if you look at the last portion of that definition, or for signaling systems, and under electrical work, it includes electric light, heating, cooling, power, including solar, signaling, communication, alarm, or data transmissions, which I think of as the internet, et cetera. So, again, these people who we've all had them over time come into our home, they're not electricians by trade. That's not what they learned to do, and they're working for giant companies. Spectrum is sending in people who are qualified to do the job. There's no need for them to be electricians. So I just want to make sure we're not overcorrecting.
So the somewhat simplistic solution that the Jim Sofranco suggested, I think, actually works quite well. if we look at the definition of electrical, I didn't see it until this discussion, but if you look at electrical contractor, if you read down to erecting, altering, repairing for public and large, electric wiring, apparatus, fixtures, devices, appliances, and equipment, utilized or designed for the utilization of electricity of greater than 50 volts for da-da-da-da-da-da, then it's okay to have those things covered by it. And the similar in the definition of electrical work, you know, signaling, cooling power, transmission of electricity for electricity of greater than 50 volts. And you can argue whether it should be 50 volts, make it 60, but then all of those people that are doing all that low voltage work no longer are doing electrical contracting or electrical work, and so they don't have to be licensed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of look at it the other way. Maybe the county attorney's office can answer is, you know, what is the purpose of including cable, internet, and phone systems?
Well, as I, my notes in the initial version, I just took definitions that other counties had, and I left it up to you guys to revise as you see fit. It's really whatever you guys want. I inserted the definitions to add clarity, just so whoever's governed by it knows that they're governed by it or not. So, you know, it's whether or not you cover certain, that's really up to you. It's a policy decision.
And I believe I actually had a motion on the floor to actually go and delete within on page 2 for the definition.
Yeah, we didn't. I don't think anybody seconded it.
Actually, I thought Ken did, but.
Oh, you did? Okay. So, what was the motion in the second?
To go and delete on page 2 in the definition for a Class C license, to delete out, in essence, the section in red, the amendment that hasn't even been
voted on.
Voted on, actually, technically. So, I guess it's more of a. It's more of an amendment to the amendment, since all the sections in black haven't actually been voted on yet.
Right, we never accepted that amendment that is included in there in red. So we're just not even you won't consider it then.
We'd be withdrawn if that's the proper mechanism for that. No, for that particular section.
So you're withdrawing that.
I'm withdrawing that particular section.
Okay.
And see where it says.
You got that? That was withdrawn. That one that was put in red. For the purposes of
on page 2 under the definition of
for people to have a cleaner understanding, it was put in red, but it was never voted on, so therefore he's withdrawing that.
All right.
And then actually, I think for addressing Tracy's concern with the definition of electrical work, I don't think that the suggestion from Legislator Nolan is actually that bad of an idea, in the sense of, because that way, if you add that limit, the 50-watt limit that was recommended by Mr. Sofranco, who I have a lot of respect for, it addresses, because otherwise you're going to have to change the language in that, because as long as you still say data transmission, communication, you're still falling into that same kind of issue that we had with Class C, but if you add a limit there, I think it's a reasonable.
Well, on that suggestion, I don't feel qualified to weigh in on
that
suggestion,
true.
So I don't know, but I. But
well,
I
then we have to change.
This is also why you also have a board.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's a reason why we're actually formulating an actual board for some of these issues, so it's not as if somehow.
Right, and I think once you have the board formed.
Yeah.
I believe that they would most likely come back and tell us, we would ask them to examine this and give us any suggestions in the future on how to adjust this to make it work better.
And so, one thing I just noticed, which I wasn't even paying attention to, but if you look at electrical work, the installation, erection, alteration, or repair of electrical wiring, apparatus, fixtures, devices, or other equipment. So it could be the repair of a fixture to be used for transmitting cooling. So now, refrigerant specialists, when your air conditioner repair person comes to your house, they have to be an electrician or be working under an electrician.
Not unless you're doing something with the wiring.
It says
installation.
It says,
so if you're installing.
Well, if you're an installer, you're going to have to. If you install your.
It says wiring or. wiring, apparatus, fixtures, devices, or. So, again.
Or other equipment used,
right.
Or to be used for the transmission of electricity.
Transmission
electric. If they're coming in there and putting more refrigerant in there, you're not going to be doing it. If they're.
Again, there's an or.
Adjusting.
So it's saying electric, heat, cooling, or.
Or what?
It's an or.
But what does it say, or what? What
it's
is the or after it?
Or heat, or cooling, or power, or signaling, or
right.
communication.
But
so cooling is one of the ors.
Yes.
Again, this I feel like is just too broad.
That,
just captures too
if somebody
much.
Comes in and fixes your, your central air, shall we say.
Yes.
And what they're doing is they're not necessarily doing wiring on that.
You don't have
Tracy,
to.
Tracy, you're missing an important word here. It says, transmission of electricity for. So it's the fixture, devices, or other equipment are used for the transmission of electricity for.
Okay.
Cooling, heating, blah 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 blah
yeah.
blah. So the equipment
okay.
the equipment in question is only for the transmission of electricity. It's not for the transmission of cooling or anything
okay.
like that.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, I mean, I have a guy come in. He puts stuff on there.
Yeah,
and he gets the reads and all that. But he's not really messing with the electric. He's
right.
Doing.
I know, but that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that we've gone broad.
Yeah, but I think that's
from other places.
As Hector pointed out, that's why you have a board. The board is going to be a board of electricians.
Only that another public.
If you understand where I'm saying coming from, so they are going to be the ones that enforce this. So when they go to enforce it, I think they know. In other words, they're going to understand where we're coming from, and they're going to come up and say, "Hey, you got this in here, and I think it needs to be fixed." I think that I believe that they would most likely come about doing that. That's what they've done in the city of Kingston. They've changed things because of the board advised them that you have to make these changes.
I got a question.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to give you guys some more information. Putnam County does exempt lower than 90 volts, and Rockland County definition is over 50 volts. Just so you know that.
Thank you.
That's helpful.
David, when's the, I can't find it in here, when's the start date for this law?
January 1.
And that's my point. I mean, we're arguing about this in September, and the county executive has to get his staff together and imply this, and we expect every contractor to be licensed on January 1st? How is that going to happen?
Well,
these amendments were offered by the county attorney's office. That's why Kenny and I, are the sponsors on this, just so you know. I hear what you're also saying. I know. I understand that there's a quote-unquote, at a certain point you're going to need a lead time in terms of the enforcement, so to speak, of the law, because technically speaking it would be enforced on January 1, right, when it starts.
And nobody's licensed.
I think he's more concerned about the about the electricians than the county executive's ability to implement it.
Right.
Now, Kenny, you put words in my mouth again.
I'm sorry, was that incorrect?
It was half and half. I am concerned about the staff being able to manage this. And also, January 1st, we expect every contractor in the county to be licensed when they're not going
to
be.
I think we need to adjust that when we take a look at it once we get these other things. I think that's an easy fix.
Like April 30th?
It could be. I mean, it could be. We can figure out a phase.
First day.
There you go. What's your birthday?
We can figure out a
phase. We'll do that day.
December 30th.
Oh, that works.
December 30th, 2020. Perfect.
But let's get back into where we're at. Are we being satisfied with the amendments as of, or do you want to change an amendment since Jennifer brought up the Putnam County bringing in the 90, those below 90 and or above 50? Yes.
Good.
I was just going to ask Jennifer, where in their laws do they have that clarification?
So, Putnam County has a special low voltage limited data communications technician in its definitions, and that's for individuals who operate at 90 volts or less, so that would put them under that. And Rockland County actually has it in their definition of electrical contractor. They say like we have accepted ends with or operating on 50 volts or more.
So for the electrical contractor definition that we pulled from Rockland County, we took out or operating on 50 volts or more.
Yes. Sorry, that was unintentional.
No, it's okay.
So if we add that back in, I think it gets rid of a lot of the problem that we've been dancing to try to fix.
I'm not going to go and sign off on that yet until I actually go and... I just assume postpone it, and I'm going to say, I mean, because in committee, amendments can only be enacted if agreed upon by the sponsors, correct?
Mm-hmm. Would you be open to checking with somebody and doing that on the floor tomorrow?
No, I'd just as soon postpone the whole damn thing and actually go and look at it, but that's what I'd be more inclined to do.
You want to make that motion?
Well, not until we actually at least, because the remainder of the, meaning, if we're going to kind of go and, I don't want to kind of continue with, in essence, sort of debating the entirety of the bill again, we have a series of amendments that were offered by the Office of the Executive and the County Attorney's Office. I'd like those voted on, so that way we can actually move forward. And then if we're talking about something of that magnitude, we can then, again, I'll postpone it, and then we can actually have that discussion on that specifically.
So I want to
move the amendment then, which basically...
I'll move the amendments that the county attorney's office has put
in. I'm going to second that.
All right, and that was the one with the one-piece junk out, right?
That's got that's a whole different piece.
All these different pieces.
Yeah.
All right, what were the amendments that you're...
They're in bold. They're in bold and black.
Throughout, and there's a lot of...
All those throughout, you're going to accept all of them at one time?
Yeah.
Yep.
And both you and Ken are all right with that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, on those amendments.
But can I ask a question? Because this, you have Jennifer's comments. Were all those addressed? Like, where she comment on the side? How is it computed? And were all of those questions satisfied?
Ken, were they all satisfied?
I believe so. I think. I don't remember if the dollar amount for one of the.
Yeah, on page 8, there's a dollar amount missing. There's blank dollars, but that could be added in after these amendments are taken apart.
Yeah, okay.
But everything else was addressed.
All the rest of your comments.
All right. Can we at least just move on that right now so we can begin to kind of clarify this document?
Yep.
All right. As opposed to having 1,000 different little, you know. All right. On the vote?
On the vote. We're ready to accept the amendments. They're first and seconded, and all those in favor?
Aye. Who made the motion?
Didn't you make
you did. Hector's not on this committee, is he?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, sorry.
You did. Wow. Hector seconded.
I got it.
Wow.
That's cold, Kenny.
That's cold.
Too,
I honestly didn't
too,
know.
It's who Brute than false Caesar.
Wow. All right.
I didn't mean any.
It was first and seconded.
I'm very tired.
By Hector and on the vote, the all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None.
I've served this committee longer than you have.
Continuously?
Well, no, not in one shot.
All right.
Well,
what are you doing on the reservation?
All right. So those are the portions in black, right? There's still the portion in... hold on a second.
Red.
Red, yeah. Right. So let's get through the... And... C, the first portion in C was withdrawn. That portion of that, that's not there anymore.
C?
Page 2. I just said, I mentioned earlier to the chair that portion was withdrawn with regards to adding in a definition for solar. Again, I thought we were actually moving that along, but that part's just being...
Yeah, no, I just lost where you
were. No, I got it. So,
Okay, so we're page 2, 3, 4, but then we're moving right along here. 5, everything's all right.
I was going to say, the portions, Tracy.
I'm just trying to understand, because I'm reading Jennifer's comments, and I'm assuming it's your comment, JC, right? So, and you're saying they've all been answered, but, you know, just on a random page, you ask a question, and if it's not addressed and it stays the same, does that just mean that you're satisfied? I'm confused. Like, for example, page 14. Do you say, how often... No, that's not a good
page
one.
Page 16.
Page 16. You say...
Yeah, new letter F.
Oh, yeah. Are you sure you want to require master electricians to be doing work under other master electricians? But the language is the same. It just says, continuously engaged in work as a master electrician under the supervision of a licensed master electrician.
That sounds like a policy question, not a legal question.
But did anyone answer, did anyone go through those questions? And
I don't know that we need to answer policy questions from the county attorney's office.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I definitely think we need to answer legal questions. I don't know what the other sponsor thinks. I think that, you know, a question like that is intended to be provocative and not obstructionist. If you want to have this policy discussion, this is the place to have it, but...
I'm just wondering, I mean, using that one as an example, and I guess I don't understand, I mean, why would you have to continuously work as a master electrician under the supervision of a master electrician?
So it may make sense. I mean, these are tough issues.
People will often, in other words, work under somebody else's license. They're still working. They're working for, you know, like a plumber, you work for Lowe's. But you may have your own master... license, but you're still working under Lowe's.
Well, I think that this is in the case of somebody who didn't have a master electrician's license for a period of time, but was continually operating underneath another person's master electrician license.
As long as you two, the sponsors, are comfortable, have reviewed all these questions and you're comfortable with them, I'm just...
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, so the only sections in red that remain are going to be... Mr. Ronk, for our discussion with the guards. Bless you.
Fees for...
Yeah. Which should be reflected. The change in the fee structure should be reflected.
God bless you.
Again.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second.
Page 7.
All right, so... I need it back, so...
apparently we're staying away from that side of the table. Trace, you want to come down?
So, do you want to move that, Mr. Ron?
We're on the right side of the table here.
Oh, yeah, we are. I will move those changes for the fees for residents of Ulster County.
Okay. I'll second that.
Alrighty, any debate on the amendment?
We're lowering the fees, Kev, good, right?
Lowering fees for Ulster County people. If you live in Ulster County, you get a lower fee.
Alright.
Everybody happy with that?
Yes.
Any debate? Any none? I'd call for the vote.
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? None? Carried.
And I'm whenever my system decides to actually get there, because it's like it's going. But we also have red technically on at least the version I've got up here. We have red on page 11.
And page 8.
Hold on. Well, page 8 we don't have red, but we have to go and fill in that for I. But I'm just getting right now to the items that are in red, so that way we sort of just get that cleared off of our plate, which is in section 11.
It's gonna be a long
night. A. It looks like there's and Jay, help me out here. That section that's in red there, that's gonna have that's a new amendment that has to be offered.
This,
is that correct?
You propose local law number 7, which is what you're actually
amending.
Voting on. This is just for your convenience of I guess. So Ms. Clark had secondary amendments after a meeting prior to the August laws and rules.
Yeah.
So for your tracking
for our purposes
the
here.
Second set of amendments after the August laws and rules are
in red, but that was between the sponsors and Ms. Clark, so they still were in proposal local law 7, so they're not super extra red.
I got it. No,
they're like a soft red.
Super. Wow. So just for our purposes,
magenta.
For the purposes of my sanity at this point, I'm going to offer to amend section 11 as specified in red. How about that?
Okay.
Section 11.
Page.
Yes.
What page is that?
11.
I'll second that.
It's on page 11.
Yep.
Just to be convenient, 11's on 11.
All right, so what you're amending here is under A, Master Electrician's License, and what are you amending this to?
It's in red.
To read that.
The applicant's years of experience must include at least one of the following.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Right. I think it's just a clarification.
Yeah, it was a clarification.
All right, so it was, remember, it was made and seconded?
Yeah.
And I'll call for the vote.
Aye.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. Carried. Now back to 8, can we get rid of that? Page 8, we're going to have a number there.
Yeah, no, we've been put a dollar amount in there.
Yeah, it's, if somebody wants to, you know, hang up their license for a while, they can do it for $50 a year. But if they want to, that's for a master's electricians. But for the B and C, not engaged, if much for work by their licenses, may shelve the license for a fee of what? Shouldn't that be probably the same?
I don't think so. The fees are different for master electricians than they are for B and C.
A master's $225, or if you're actually out of state, it's or no, if you're a New York State resident but not in county.
No, no, I'm saying the licensure fee is lower for B and C by $25 or $50 for Ulster County residents.
But for somebody to shelve their license for a little bit, it's $50 for a master's. Wouldn't it be about the same?
I would call for $25
sounds good to me.
That's fine. I'll move that.
All right.
Second.
Made in second for $25.
Boy, we're all being very agreeable tonight. This bodes well.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Carried.
Now, Jay, does that sort of finalize at least any of the portions that were in bold or any of the portions that were in red?
No.
Page 22. Tracy, what did you say?
22,
23. Okay. Oh, for other superficies. All right. And again, the reason it's in red is merely that we didn't have it in time for the August meeting, so I think it... Actually, for some reason, I thought it actually did make its way in, but maybe it didn't, I guess, at that point. So I guess at this time, I guess I will move the portions in section 23, as offered by the county attorney's office that are in red.
Second.
Any debate on that? None? Call for the question?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Gary?
Of any other sections in red, Jay?
I see nothing.
Help me out.
I don't think so.
No, hold on. I guess technically on 16.
Oh, there's one, like, typo?
Yeah, it's probably more of a typo, but whatever. Let's just correct
it. What page?
Now. Page 33.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess that is technically section...
It's 16 of the Appendix A.
Yeah, it's appendices.
Or appendices.
Isn't that already done with the bolded stuff?
No, because it's in red. I'm just noticing right there.
Oh, I didn't.
Like,
mine is
other,
in red.
And then it's just
copier.
It's just records. Oh. So
just maybe right. Catch at the same time. There's a typo on page 23.
I gotta have you help me log into OneDrive, Jay.
Instead of a singular.
Somehow I got logged out of 23. Somehow I got logged out of OneDrive, so I'll have to have you help me log back in.
All right, so we know that the one sort of a typo, the one where it says record, so we'll just make that fix. That's a typo.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep.
Although, I just amended all of 23. Anyway, so.
Oh, okay.
Meaning that would have been included. That would have been included in the other ones.
Sorry.
No. It was a good catch. Anyway, so for the technical, just for technicality's sake, I'll move it. Kenny,
second.
All right.
Which one is this?
I think.
For you, Hector, almost anything.
If I'm on the committee.
You are. I've been corrected.
So that's just that's just the literal clerical error at the end of the page 33 there. All right.
He was on the committee when it was first created. All right, so do we have that now? Now, basically, everything has been amended, and the only thing we have is the one little question, and I don't know if we really need to deal with it, or do we want to pass this now as is?
I mean, I'm okay. Look, from my standpoint, I'm okay passing this, you know, now as is, but I, you know, understand that there may be some people who don't support it. So.
All right, so, Tracy...
I mean, can you just get comfort or clarification on the language that Jennifer proposed from either of the two other jurisdictions and make the amendment on the floor tomorrow? Like, you can pass it as is and you make that, because I'll feel comfortable with it, with that amendment. I just don't without that, without some kind, and it doesn't have to be that one, but that's
well, I was gonna
to
say,
solve
but
it.
No, I understand, but let me... I mean, I'm going to be at NYSEC tomorrow, so I'm going to have to probably just going to have to call you, I guess, from the road when you get in. Give or take.
9 o'clock.
You're 9 o'clock? All right. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay moving this as is and then going and having the conversation about trying to go and find a
it's already been moving
happier
second,
medium,
right?
I guess, in terms of, you know, from a language standpoint. And maybe I can then call you after I sort of finish up with her as to basically what sort of becomes the ultimate, you know.
In terms of just clarifying one of those voltage.
All right. Well, then I'll.
I mean, if you don't get right.
I can move it. I'll second it.
But I don't want to. I'm
entertaining right now.
Enough,
I'd like to entertain a motion to one of you to move the resolution.
You did already.
Moving it now.
I'll move it.
Second.
And you're seconding it. All right. And then we are going to do some priority plays, but I'm ready to move forward.
Okay. Right. All right. Well, so I mean, I'm willing to at least explore this, and Jennifer, I'll call you tomorrow morning.
All those in
and
favor.
And we'll talk to.
All right.
Aye.
All those in favor. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'll vote for it, but if it's not, without that change, I'm not going to vote for it, because I'm concerned.
All right.
It'll be
too much.
First resolution took 50 minutes. That bodes well.
Actually, I'm pretty impressed that we got it done in 50 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, would you mind going back to resolution 473 of 2018?
I would not mind. In fact, that's what I was going to do.
Fantastic.
All right. We're going back to resolution 473.
I'll move it.
Second.
On the Olson County Ethics Law. Alrighty, now we have some amendments that you want to, you're looking at putting in?
Yes. Would you like to go through them?
Yes.
This is going to be fun. So, many of them, as you see, are... ways that Nick tried to clean up, you know, the way it flows. One of the comments from the county attorney's office was that it was a little awkward the way the charter changes were in the law. So I think that Nick, working with Jay, tried to rearrange them so it flows a little better. Is that?
Yeah, just in terms of where the replacement of the existing charter sections appears in the law, as opposed to reforming it entirely within the law. We just refer to the law itself by incorporation.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be a shorter charter text for the printer, and the editor actually gets it. So save some trees.
So then on page page 6.
Okay. So
can we go through them and then do them all as one?
No problem.
All right.
That's page 1, you said?
Yes. Right. So that was page 1 and several other pages. You know, anywhere where you see charter language, that's what that was for.
Okay.
Is that as long as that's acceptable to the committee, if we move forward?
That's acceptable.
So then on page...
Okay.
6, you have, you know, the prior ethics laws, repealed. There was a concern raised by the county attorney's office about continuation of complaints before the ethics board. When the ethics board is repealed, there was a concern that there wouldn't be the authority of the new board to hear those cases. So we made it more clear. We believe it was clear that it continued, but we took steps to make it further clear that the new ethics board has jurisdiction over pending complaints.
Good.
And that's the changes you see there.
I see that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because these are as we move forward through the law.
Yeah, no, I think you're summarizing them accurately so far.
All right. On page 9, there was a concern raised in a memo that was provided to us dated May 30th of 2019. A lot of these changes are in response to some of what was discussed in the memo and discussed in a meeting that council and I had with the county attorney's office, that the state law requires that somebody from county or town government elected or appointed serve on the ethics board. And by removing county elected officials and removing all elected officials and county employees, we vastly limited the pool of those to choose from. So we put in a section here that says at least one member of the Board of Ethics shall be an employee of a town, village, or city within the County of Ulster. Just to make it clear that we have to have somebody from town, city, or village government on there. It requires it in the state law. We believe that it's not, that we can deviate from it. Be that as it may, to alleviate the concerns of the county attorney's office, this was a change I was willing to propose. I don't know if you want to stop and have a discussion about it for a moment.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's I mean, I think we should have a discussion. It's not a change I love. I mean, if it's something that we can deviate from, I'm open. You had the discussion with the, with the executive office or the county attorney's office, but I'm a little unclear why we have to. I mean, it seems to me that we're so limited. When you talk about limiting the pool, now we're requiring that one member actually be from a very limited pool, which I don't.
The state law requires it. But one thing, and this I think has been a sticking point between the county attorney's office and minority counsel, even back when he was legislative counsel, is the difference between a law of general application and one that's not a law of general application. Nick, do you want to?
Yeah, I mean, we actually discussed this, I think, because the law as originally proposed did not have the prohibitions on membership that we then added through the amendment process, for example, to restrict membership to elected county officials or local party officials. That's now in there. And so in discussing whether those changes would be permissible, I referred the committee to an AG opinion that came out of the city of Mount Vernon, which essentially provided that, this is not a law of general application. Therefore, under home rule, a locality is permitted to deviate from it. So the section of 808 of the General Municipal Law that applies to city boards of ethics has a requirement that I think city council members maybe sit on the board, whatever the case may be.
They may sit.
Let me see. Actually
must
have it in front of me here. So this is under the section dealing with city boards of ethics. Such a board shall include at least one member who is an elected or appointed municipal officer or employee. So what Mount Vernon wanted to do was say, look, we're not going to have elected or appointed officers on our city commission, because their thought was it's not a truly independent board then, and it might have a chilling effect on employees who want to come in and make complaints when, my direct supervisor is sitting on that board. Even though he or she might recuse themselves, they want to have a truly independent board. So the AG said, that's fine, you can deviate from this subsection. So I utilized that opinion to say, then so too the county, the section that applies to counties, which reads, at least one of whom the members shall be an elected or appointed officer or employee of the county or municipality located within the county, that we should be just as free to deviate from that as a city would be. There's really no reason why we shouldn't be. Having said that, I think what the compromise that Legislator Ronk is offering is to say, look, we don't agree that we can't deviate, but to sort of come to a common ground or a middle ground, we'll propose that an elected or appointed officer or employee, not of the county, but of one of the municipalities within the county, so a town, village, or city, shall be on the board. So that's, I think, the history, if you will, of how we got to where we are at this point on this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair to the minority leader and to council, just for my own edification and clarification, so when you say at least one member of the board shall be an employee of a town, I mean, is the intent that that said employee would be from an organized labor division, or is it just that it could be any
non-elected official? Because we've banned local elected officials from service.
No, I'm saying that, but it just says shall be an employee of the town. I'm saying, is the intent behind it that it would be somebody who is an employee of, say, the town of New Paltz, and one of the organized and divisions, meaning that they're in the team, or a CSEA member.
They don't have to be. It could be a deputy town clerk.
Right.
Okay.
I'm just asking.
Any employee.
Okay. No, I just want to ask.
Could be appointed by the town board. Could be in a union. Could be tested, not tested. I mean,
because I think that also sort of, I think, gets to maybe what Nick's, where that opinion came from, and also where, just from a generic standpoint, you wouldn't want to basically have your supervisor, right? If you were an employee of the county and had your supervisor up there, but you might want somebody who was in a similar position. I don't know. I'm just putting that out there.
The only reason that I just to answer the question, the only reason that I put this change in is to try to be as
understood.
Not trying to conciliatory as possible, and I would be perfect.
Actually, I think it's even though you're looking at it only being conciliatory, but I think it actually makes sense to do something like that. It's not a bad idea, to have an employee that is, in other words, a rank and file type of employee on that. In other words, they're going to have a feeling. Otherwise, most of the time, they're made up of all attorneys and things of that nature. I think it's a bad idea.
If that's the case, then I have a question for Nick. But if that's the case, let me finish this thought. Why would you prohibit the local elected officials?
Because they're elected.
But I'm asking the question.
But I think because they're elected, I think it's the idea because you're, in other words, you're a partisan. You're an automatically set as a partisan because you're an elected official.
I think Dave's point is you could have somebody who runs on a ticket with somebody
who is.
Is that pretty much
basically, but you're somewhat of a partisan.
Or you could have reason to rule against somebody because they're in the opposing party. I mean, there's, I mean, you could do that anyway, but.
Yeah, even as.
Right. But that was the whole reason about keeping, party members off of the board as well.
But, I mean, the same would apply to appointed positions in the town, especially as they're appointed. You could be the confidential secretary to a town supervisor, and that's going to be the same through
the line
of partisan.
But we also have the right to not appoint them.
But can I ask, Nick, the Mount Vernon case, was it what was the board that they were forming? Was it
Board
ethics?
Of Ethics.
It was?
Oh, it was the same statute. It was just a different section.
But it was the Board of Ethics that they were forming?
So yeah, it's the city portion.
They're empowered under subsection 3. The county is under subsection 1, but it's very similar language. They require a local elected or appointed official from their city. Mm-hmm. And for the county, it's a lot of disjunctives, but it's elected or appointed officer or employee, county or municipality. So we're trying to narrow it down to say, okay, out of all those, employee of a locality, town, village, or city.
Was Mount Vernon's deviation challenged?
No. Well, I don't know that it was.
And then the other changes are you're going back to a 5-year, 5, 4, 3, right?
Yes. That was, sorry. that was the other section there. There was some concern in the opinion about changing the term from 5 to 3 years. I'm not opposed to having 5-year terms, so we have reinstituted the 5-year term, and then to stagger them, have 5, 4, and 3, and then following 5 years in order to be able to stagger.
Go on, next. Keep going. If somebody has a complaint about something, let's keep rolling.
All right.
I think that's it for amendments.
Yeah. That's it for amendments, but there were amendments that were made after the last committee meeting that we want to go through as well. If everyone on page 10 and 11, can everyone just look at the removal for cause sections, mm-hmm. which have, that was removed for cause by the county executive upon his or her own initiative, or upon the recommendation to the county executive by a vote of at least 2/3 of members of the legislature. And then, in the event that a removal proceeding is so commenced, the Ulster County Attorney shall provide notice thereof to Legislative Council and Minority Council. Is everyone comfortable with that language?
Yep.
All right, we'll move on. The next one is on...
It's the penalty section.
Yeah, it's late. 31. This is the...
I've seen this too often.
What's that? You've seen it too often?
I'm seeing the page numbers in my mind.
This is the $10,000, but it says, provided that multiple violations of the county ethics law arising from the same common nucleus of fact shall be deemed a single violation for the purposes of the imposition of a civil penalty. So it remains at $10,000, but voting on it in committee, voting on it on the floor, and discussing it on the floor would be a maximum of $10,000. You could not exceed $10,000 on that nucleus of fact because it's one... it all arises from the same facts.
I like that wording.
It's creative, isn't it?
Nucleus of fact.
Everyone should... Little hat tip to the counselor here. He's
like all lawyers, we read it somewhere else, so I don't take the original credit for it.
Go ahead, Tracy.
I still feel like it's a little high, given that it has or the value of any financial benefit obtained by the violator. I still feel like it's a little high.
Right.
I mean, I like that we've made this amendment, but I'd be more comfortable with a lower number.
I do think it's kind of high also, but because, like as you're pointing out, it is the mindset of the other part that it's the value. If you made $100,000, then you can be fined $100,000.
And how is $10,000?
$110,000,
actually, yes.
To me, if you made $100,000, you should be fined $110,000.
Yeah, I agree with you. Right. But that's what it would do, in effect. What my mindset is, what about, in other words, if you made the violation, but you really didn't make money on the violation.
But Dave, this was like a compromise, because before, if you had a $5,000, you could stack them.
Stack it to $15,000.
Yeah.
I feel like this is fair. I feel like, I'm not in favor of moving it lower, mostly because it's a not to exceed, and to my knowledge, the Board of Ethics has never given a maximum fine. And they still have the opportunity to go to a Article 78 proceeding,
which would cost.
And it could cost, but I mean the point is that most of the likelihood of winning an Article 78. On something like a fine from the ethics board would mean that the and Nick can correct me if I'm wrong in the language, that the fine would have to shock the conscience, and I feel like a $10,000 violation for a $50 violation would shock the conscience of a person in a black robe. So I think that the $10,000 is fair.
Yeah. I mean, I was shocked in the last one that I seen. Yeah.
I mean, there's a in the last one there's a dollar figure attached to, raising a discussion in a committee meeting, which doesn't regarding a hiring of a confidential secretary, which arguably doesn't have any financial value. And I don't want to get into that specific one too deep, but I'm saying
I don't think we should get into it at all.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not what's happening here.
But there's a whole broad ability to assess fines for things that don't have financial benefit at all. So when you talk about shocking the conscience, you could assess a civil penalty and a fine for any number of things that don't result in a financial benefit.
Can I just... let me ask Nick
directly.
Something. Nick, what happens if... So Ken gets brought up and he gets a $7,000 fine or whatever, and he does an Article 78. What does he do to assure, in other words, that he gets his attorney? It costs them $7,000 to do the attorney. Now they throw the fine out, but he still has $7,000.
Yeah. There's nothing.
There's no attorney's fees. I don't think in that section of law, right?
Not under 78 itself. I mean, there might be some other cause of action that they could bring. I mean, I'm aware of.
This is the Equal Access to Justice Act, but it's not typically applied in something.
No, I mean, like, there could be a civil rights claim or some other cause of action that could allow for statutory attorney's fees, but I don't believe 78 itself will allow those to the prevailing party. Bless
you. Bless you. Everybody. Coming closer, Dave. Coming closer.
Mine's just allergies.
It's coming okay. up the way here. Wait a minute. Man, oh man.
You're all yeah, we don't want to go too far down that way.
Kenny. Patient zero is down at the end of the table.
Kenny, we vote to send you down that way.
You have a quick vote to send Ken to the other end.
I'm having some sinus cavity issues. I went scuba diving.
We're going to get this meeting over with you.
You have to get this meeting over in a hurry so we can live through it. Alrighty, so anything else with this, Ken?
Do we want to have more conversation on that? Because
I'd like to know where everyone else is on the $10,000. That's what I mean.
I what about the idea that if they putting in there, if they do file an Article 78 and they are proven that, in other words, and the judge throws fine out, should the county pay for their legal fees?
I don't think that we can offer to pay for people's representation under Article 78 of the CPLR.
I'm asking a question. That's all. Well, I mean, to me, my mind says if somebody's fined for something and they it was unjustly done to them.
Well, I've never considered the specific issue, but it would, if you were going to consider it, would probably have to cut both ways to be to the prevailing party. You know, so if you took a frivolous appeal, you would get banged as well. Mm-hmm. Pay the county's fees. But I've never considered whether we could voluntarily.
Can't they do that? In other words, if you lose, can't the county file?
File.
In other words.
No.
No, the American system by default is each party pays its own fees, unless there's a statute that shifts that burden for some reason.
Oh, wait.
There are some specific statutes that allow for attorney's fees, but Article 78 is not one of them.
Yeah, that's exactly true. The American system is that you pay for your own attorney, and I'd be very concerned about any statute that would allow the county to file. I mean, the point is, the county's gone through this procedure. You've assessed somebody. He has a right to go to court. You start saying that, well, if you lose, not if you're frivolous, if you lose... We're going to come
I mean,
after
there
you.
Are.
That's an infringement on his right. Yeah. And I'd have a question.
There are costs you can seek, statutory costs, which can be a couple $1,000 if you prevail. But not attorney's
fees. Bless you.
There is a right. If a case is frivolous or if a defense is frivolous, you can do that. But that's a very heightened standard of bad acting.
All right. Anyway, yes.
So I think if we're going to have an ethics law, we should have the ability of this ethics board to assess that there was something done unethical. And I would consider it to be an unusual circumstance where the fines would go to this level. But if there is an egregious violation, contemptuous disregard of the board's decision, for example, might fall into that category for me, then I think that the fines are what give us any reason to be having these long discussions. And to make small fines for things that are unethical by five people now constituted in a very fair, broad-minded way, I think you have to have it in order for us to even have the ethics board. If we're not going to allow them to assess fines for really bad behavior, then I think it's just a meaningless exercise here.
Your example of contemptuous disregard is in one way what gives me pause, and I'm not talking about the case that's before us, but there is right now a legislator who received an opinion from the ethics board that this legislator shouldn't vote on anything related to a family member's place of employ. It's not someone who is, it's not someone who is financially tied to this legislator anymore. And that is such a broad interpretation. The legislator is following the ethics recommendation, but I would think it would be reasonable to not follow it because it's such an extreme, you can't vote on anything at all related. So,
right.
So to me, that's part of the problem, that if just going against a recommendation is a contemptuous disregard that would result in $10,000, it's, I don't know, it's just, that's where I get into this cycle of...
Is it okay if Kathy just follows up because it was coming to her?
Because the reason I say contemptuous disregard is that if the ethics board gives an opinion that the person before the board objects, there are other mechanisms for raising that as a concern. You could make that a public issue. You could go back to the board. You could ask the legislature to look at it. You could ask for the law to be changed. There are a host of things that a legislator or an employee in that position can do other than simply disregard the board's recommendation. And that's what I think generates the idea of contempt, is that you treat it as though there were no recommendation. And maybe we need to specify some of those things in here if it's not clear to people that if you get a ruling that you consider unreasonable, what your courses of action are. But for me, I think simply ignoring the ethics board is something we should really discourage, and that's what large fines for doing that.
I don't think anybody wants you to ignore it. I mean, it's been pointing out that, there are, right now, the ethics board can get a ruling for a guy who can't vote on anything within that church department, anything, which is absurd.
Well, I'd be willing to have my own example, and my sister has said that I can speak openly about her condition, but I have a family member who's mentally ill, and I've been, the recommendation from the board was that I recuse myself on anything having to do with the organizations that provide her services. She doesn't have any income from them, but she has support services from them. If I found that to be harmful to my work as a legislator, I would take that back to the ethics
board
and ask for a
review. I certainly understand that, but I can see that ruling. I can understand that one. I don't understand the one with the sheriff's department, but just because a son that works there and all of a sudden he can't vote on anything in the sheriff's department.
Well, I think there's more likelihood for conflict there than here.
But you have to be financially tied to the person. That's the thing. It's the definition
dependent.
Of who...
Right.
You have to be financially...
But anyway, I want to move on.
Right, which is why
I'd like to move on because now we're doing an exercise and conversation, I guess, because the resolution as you...
But
any other amendments that you are recommending, or is that it?
On the financial, you're the only person, you and Ken are the only people on the committee that I've heard where you stand on the financial.
I'm going back and forth. Yeah. I understand that it is a max.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a max. And the idea that you also have, in other words, it's good to have the other thing because if they are actually financed, they benefited some $100,000 out of it, they should be fined for the $100,000. They should be fined for, actually, you ought to be fined $200,000 as far as I'm concerned when somebody's doing something like that. But, we can't do that. And I think it's reasonable. So I think it's reasonable, but I do like the 10. The 10, I'd like to maybe, 7,500 maybe or something of that nature. But, I'm not ready to die on that ill. I'd like to have this thing moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much right there with Dave. I mean, because also the other month when we were negotiating this section of the law, I would have easily voted, if we had agreed to $5,000, I would have said yes right away, not even thinking about the issue of stacking, which, you know, again, I think is a serious issue. And because we are addressing that, I think it's a decent and fair, you know, ground to where, you know, in terms of the actual number, I'm right there with Dave in terms, you know, what I would like maybe lower, but, you know, as of right now, because of the overall value of this legislation, I think it's a necessary and I think it's a good law. I'm comfortable for now moving forward with it, just because, you know, I would have been, you know, I think the stacking is really where, you know, we're actually, I think, greatly reducing the financial power of the ethics board. Still, even at that number of 10. Yeah.
I just, on this, I feel like in this law, in this long process of working on this law, I feel like I've bent on a lot of things, much like a piece of plastic cutlery, but I'm much, without breaking. And I feel like this is a fair... I feel like this is a fair compromise to allay some of the concerns while still keeping it so these ethics board members are going to have the ability to assess a fine based on the severity of a violation rather than just an arbitrary number set by this legislature. So I'd like to move forward with it as is.
Anybody else?
Those are the only remaining amendments, I believe. So I would make a motion at this time to accept the amendments that were discussed today, as well as the appendices, which is the list of filing. The list of people who have to file, the questionnaire, et cetera, et cetera.
Move it.
So are you then offering, I guess, as your amendment, it's everything, is it everything in bold and everything in red?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't make that clear.
I also want to.
I'll move everything in bold and everything in red.
There it is.
I'll second that then.
And what about amendments in red and bold?
No, it has to be one or the other.
Magenta.
And just black and or red
on the amendments. I want to give special appreciation to Jay and to Nick on this, because it has really been a process. And you know, I think if you'd go back and listen to the tapes, there's a lot of times in this law where we said, you know what, Jay will figure it out. And she always did. So I just want to offer that appreciation on behalf of myself and hopefully the committee, because she's put a lot of work into this.
I'll second that appreciation.
Okay, let's take a vote on that amendment.
No, on the amendment.
On the appreciation.
Yes.
Legislator Maurer? You mean?
Ooh.
We can find a spot for her.
All right, on the vote, accept the red...
Aye.
And or black, and or bold.
Aye.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Having none, that passed. So that, now we're at the resolution. Is there anything in the resolution that anybody else wants amended? We have one aspect on it. I think the only thing that I know of is the one dealing with voting on civil service contracts. Is that correct?
There's no prohibition, and there's no exemption. It's just, it's up to the individual legislator.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. I'd like to entertain a motion on the resolution. Move the resolution as amended.
Second.
Can you move it?
Hector did.
Hector moved it. You seconded it?
Or Jonathan, that doesn't
matter. All right. Any further discussion on this? All righty. On the resolution.
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? None. my God, I got two of them done tonight.
Dave, shedding a tear.
Don't jinx it.
Thank you, everybody, for the patience on this and for hearing all the concerns.
I'm excited to sign this one.
Well, hey, I got it off our agenda.
You're going to sign this with 10 pens.
Okay, I got it off. But take a picture of us getting that off our agenda.
Hold on, okay. Smile.
Thanks, Deb.
This is the first I've seen that.
Well,
alrighty,
we only worked on it for like 13 months or.
Well, the electrical one is now further than that, right?
Yeah.
Don't remind me.
Alrighty, next. Another one that everybody loves. 374, a policy for employees from the Ulster County elected officials and Board of Election staff from holding any elective public office of any city, town, or village within Ulster County.
I'll move it for discussion.
One second.
All right. All right, it's moved from second for discussion. Let's discuss. What do you got?
I mean, it's something that I've seen as a problem a couple of times, as, you know, in the past year, where duties as a local elected official could come into conflict, direct conflict, with, you know, employment as an appointed member of the county under any departments. You know, there's two instances I'm aware of. I'm not aware of others, but...
What about, like, if they want to be a commissioner? A fire commissioner?
I believe that those are...
Are they exempted?
Specifically exempted. This says city, town, or village. You know, I don't see... You know, fire commissioner and library board, things like that, I believe, come into more conflict if you were a fire commissioner and a town board official. Because there's a direct supervisory, you know, contract issues, there's money that changes between them. So.
And I would say she seconded that with regards to school board and fire commissioners, because I believe the Hivranek actually came, actually talked to us about that, about how those positions are not inherently in conflict.
I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know what the legal read is, because it says any elective public office of any city, town, or village. So, I mean, there an argument could be made that a fire commissioner is an elective public office of the city or of the town or of the village. I mean, and again, I'm just being the devil's advocate. So I'm not sure that it rules those out.
Well, can we just think purposely exclude?
I have no objection to that.
I mean, we need some fire commissioners, library board members.
I think that would be clearer. I think the argument could be made that those are elected for the fire district and not for the town or village, or and similarly for the school district. But I think that's splitting a hair that we should clarify now rather than
I'm comfortable
than split.
With that.
No, and in the vein, again, you know, when Dee came to speak with us on that subject, the reason that she gave was that in those instances, those particular elective offices are not compensated. But, I mean, there's no point. I mean, look, there's no problem with...
What about if you change it to compensated?
Compensated elective office? Elective public office?
That'll work, too.
I mean, that way, in other words, the only people that are compensated are those that are elected to a village, city, and so on. In other words, you know, the fire commissioners are not paid. The board, school board members are not paid, even though they should be.
I mean, you never want to run across, like, you know, the one instance where suddenly a fire commissioner's, you know, whatever, some random firehouse has a, whatever, a stipend associated with it or something like that, and now are they being compensated because they get a stipend of $200
They would have to be compensated by the, in other words, the municipality.
I mean, I'm open. I'm not.
You know what I mean? If they're compensated by the municipality, anyone compensated by one of those.
I just want to be able to provide this, that historical perspective, because I know when B came to talk to us specifically on this issue, it was because fire commissioner and school board were not compensated. That's why it wasn't used.
I certainly understand that. But I mean, I would rather have it clear in here, you know what I mean? So somebody's not bothered with it. I mean, would that work in some way, Nick, talking about compensation, or would it be better to go another way?
You know, I think it might be, well, it's a pleasure of the committee, but perhaps just naming specific offices that you wish to exempt.
Yeah, I mean, how many are there?
So you know, you're naming fire commissioners and board of education is what I'm hearing so far.
Right. Library.
Library boards.
Library boards, fire commissioners, and board and
museum boards.
I mean, legally speaking,
we have any
none of those.
Boards?
None of those town are historians. Offices.
Well, fire commissioners are elected.
Yeah, no, town historians aren't
they're
elected.
They're not
though.
Town, village, or city offices. Yeah, yeah, they have their own district. You know, it's a library district, a fire district, a school district. So they're.
So why don't we just add those three specific ones, not counting elected positions that are typically not compensated, like. I don't know if you want to add that.
Volunteer
like,
positions.
Yeah, you know, like. Yes. And then you list those three. That way, if there is something that we're not getting old, maybe somebody has a, I don't know what else that you might, is there any kind of.
Water boards.
Maybe a water board, there may be a. But they're not elected, though. Those positions are typically appointed by a mayor or a town. In other words, like water boards and things like that.
Justice of the peace? Are we intending to include justices?
Yeah, they're compensated. Yeah.
That's
an elected office of the town.
Yes.
So we want to include that. Yeah. They're going to have a conflict here. Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, on the merit, I mean, I think there's a lot to discuss here, but right now I feel like the legislation, one, feels, I know you're saying it's not your intent, but it feels very pointed, especially because it right now applies to one person. Also, the fact that it would be effective immediately is up to
the
person.
Give that person left, you're not in there anymore.
No.
But,
well, that was the second person that she's not alluding to.
Yeah, because right now it's the one person. But my other concern is, if you know, if we're going to talk about this, I think we have to talk about it holistically. I know I brought up the other way where we have elected officials in the county serving in appointed positions at the state, but I didn't even last time talk about the situation of potentially having elected county officials serving in appointed positions in the municipalities and how that can be a conflict and can come into conflict with their county duties, which is something I think that if we're going to deal with this, we should have a holistic conversation about if we're going to restrict appointments and conflicts, and we want to really talk about how duties are affected and how that conflict can come into play. I think we should have a real conversation about that across the board.
Yeah, but I actually even view that as a false equivalency because I already know I'd heard that being bantered around at some point. So, for example, and I'm just maybe I'm the bad guy, so I'll just say it. But like I know that you know someone brought up like you know Brian Waltman's name. Like Brian Waltman is in a CSEA position with the city of Kingston.
No, but
somebody brought his name up before about the fact that he works for you know. So it's just like you know in the case of Laura Petit, she's in a tested position. You know what I mean? It's sort of just like one of these things where it's not. It's
she's
not apples to apples.
Even though it's civil service.
But that's not what I said. I said appointed positions in municipalities. And there are the possibility.
Legislator Petit's position is appointed even though it's civil service. It's appointed by the town board. But it's a civil service test with specific testing requirements. And, I mean, but those, I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, but there's specific testing requirements. And, you know, in order to even take the test, you have to have a specific resume. So, I mean, this is, you know, intended, I just as the person, you know, people who could be hired off the, you know, off the street with no set of qualifications required because they like the way they look that day.
My problem is with this, and I mean, I agree with, you know, I was trying to get the amendments in to make that was clear, but having said that, I don't necessarily, I'm not so sure if you do prohibit all appointees, you know, Ulster County. I mean, I can understand Board of Elections. I have no problem. Like, if you said Board of Elections, I'd vote for it in a heartbeat because I really believe that creates clear and serious conflicts. If you're going to be working in the Board of Elections, you shouldn't be running for office. Plain and simple. But that's a different issue than everyone. I mean, anybody that's appointed, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and you're raising a different concern, because this doesn't address running for office, it addresses holding office. So that's even a different issue in terms of serving in the Board of Elections.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing. It still addresses that in a way. I mean, in the end, because if you want to run for office, then
you,
once you, you can run.
I was going to say, if you're actually successful in the run,
and you win,
then
you
eventually then lost your job. Right.
If I win a position as the councilman in,
$5,000 in
the city of Kingston, and I get to pay the $9,000 or whatever they're getting, and then I give up my job in the Board of Elections, so, well, if that's what I want to do, I mean, all the power will do you. I mean, you have to make that decision, but you can run, but you should make the... But it could be a problem, though. Like, I agree with you.
So I also think we need to do that broader look and look at the different ways that this is fair or unfair. I mean, I imagine somebody being appointed to our Human Rights Board and then wanting to run to be their the town justice. And, it just strains the imagination to try to imagine the conflict.
They can do it. They can still run.
But if they got elected, then they have to give up one or the
other position. No, hold on. Kathy, if you'd allow me, please. You may not have been here last month. Before I agreed to the postponement last month, I had said that there needs to be an amendment made to clarify what the word appointment means, because as council and I were discussing, the inception of this law, appointment was intended to mean appointment of an employee. So I was going to offer an amendment, which would, I believe, be a second resolve that would say this policy shall not apply to appointees of uncompensated boards or commissions.
Yes, which
all right,
would
so
help,
are you making that amendment
Human Rights
right now?
Board
no.
has paid.
I thought we would get all the amendments together at once and then do them all.
Why don't we make that amendment right now and get it out of the way?
All right, well, I make that amendment right now to add a second resolve that says this policy should not apply to appointees of uncompensated boards or commissions of the county.
All those in favor or anybody, any discussion on that? You were going to say something, Dave?
Yes, I would just recommend that if we're going to put in an important proviso like that, that be put in the execution clauses and not the resolves. This is what we're, in other words, not because because of this, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're doing. And so if we're going to limit it, let's put it into...
could be both.
I'm comfortable with that, but I think it needs to be in the resolves, because those are the portions that are... Those are the actionable portions.
Right, did you get confused? I was going to say, because he just said in the resolves.
All right.
I was going to say, don't worry about it. Okay. That never happened.
Those in favor?
So never mind.
Aye. Any opposed? None? Let's move on.
Keep that down there.
You did.
Any other amendments or any other concerns?
The amendment, I think, and we can discuss where to put it, would be, excluding fire districts, school districts, and library districts. I just don't know where we would put that. I don't know if you have any thoughts, Nick.
Well, if we're adding a resolve to exclude service on unpaid boards or commissions of the county, right, from the appointment side of things, then I suppose you could also specifically include a decretal in the resolve that indicates...
Elected public office in the city, town, or village shall not include fire districts, school districts, or library districts.
That's what my suggestion would have been, specific exclusion.
All right, so we'll do a third resolve.
Did you hear that?
I'm going to write it down for her.
I wasn't sure if it was...
All right, on that one, I entertained some... He made the motion... Can you
somebody
seconding it?
Yeah. Third resolve to read that the holding of elective public office for the city, town, or village within Ulster County shall not apply to fire districts, school districts, or library districts.
All right. You good with that?
Yeah.
On the amendment?
Aye.
Opposed? None? Carried? All right. We'll keep going here.
Dave, when you take a look at the broader approach, it's like doing this law in reverse. And I think it's, I think there might be a time and a place for a broader approach look at this law, but I don't think it's for this conversation tonight. I think it's more of a stall tactic than anything. So,
I mean, if we want to, I'm comfortable with the broader discussion, and I understand that the broader discussion, as it was at the last meeting, was pointed at myself. There are others who also apply, but it was pointed at myself, and it was for a specific reason. And I'm comfortable having the discussion about my employment and how it doesn't conflict with my service as a county legislator, and how the state law where it would emanate from actually.
I don't think we could take an approach saying that you're an elected official, being Kenny Ronk and Mr. Hepner, and barring you from Legislator Hepner.
So he gets a free pass.
Sorry about that. And saying you can't work for this guy, that guy, or this guy, I don't think we have the power to do that, but we do have the power to enact a law like this.
I think that, you know, I tend to agree, Mr. Chairman, I tend to agree with you there, you know, sort of like when my brother and I used to fight, my mother would tell us, well, the only person that you can control is what you do. I think that we can only control the hiring practices of the county legislature. If we wanted to go into a discussion over what legislators should or shouldn't have outside employment places, the place to do that would be in the charter, where it talks about qualifications for Ulster County Legislature, which would require a referendum and a charter change. So I think you're right about that, Kev.
Go ahead. Legislator
Hepner. I mean, based on, you know, I think, you know, the different points that Legislator Bartels brought up in terms of a broader look at it, I mean, there's, you know, aside from, you know, the one example given, there's plenty of appointed, you know, town seats that are well compensated, you know, in terms of the broader looks, you know, just, you know, but again, you as a county legislator could be influenced based on that's, you know, where your income comes from. And I think based on, you know, discussions we had in the Democratic caucus is that a lot of people were, you know, not set on any one type of thought process, that they, you know, there was mention that this was very specific. And, you know, for that purpose, you know, I think we should postpone. I also, you know, my continued concern of its immediate effectiveness is still a very strong concern of mine. And also, I still, you know, just philosophically have a difficult time us as the legislature telling, it's one thing if we make that an internal policy for us that we are not going to hire anyone, appoint anyone in this office that's an elected, compensated elected official. But I do, you know, it is also difficult from, you know, the idea of we're going to tell a duly elected official, whether it's the clerk of the legislature, whether it's the sheriff, whether it's the county executive, that they can't appoint someone. You know, that's another concern I have. So I do think there's a lot of questions and a lot of things, you know, that, you know, I think people, I know at least in my caucus and the discussions we had, that, you know, I would like to see this postponed. And also one last thing, I just, you know, question to the sponsor, based on the discussions we had here last month, have there been any further discussions between you and the executive's office on possible just procedural, you know, ways to address your concerns?
No. I mean, no substantive
okay.
Proposals have been brought forward.
That's all I want.
You know, the things that I've heard from members of the executive staff is that the one instance that remains, he doesn't have any control over X, Y, or Z, so it's not a problem. All he does is write press releases. That's what
I
was told.
Anyway,
that's what he asked. This conversation, Ken, you talked about, as one of the sponsors, you talked about the idea of being a staff member with policy making power. I think that was, for lack of a better term, basically the term you use. But how, you know, when you talk about assistants or just employees, how does the confidential secretary of the sheriff have policy making power? And if the confidential secretary of the sheriff decides that he or she wants to run for local office, by virtue of their job, they, once this passes, they would know that winning and serving in a local elected office would mean that they would have to give up their job. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's a policy-making position in almost any of the confidential secretary situations, and they apply all across the board in terms of the offices you highlighted. So all right. That's just one example where I think we haven't really fully vetted the conversation of who this all applies to and what the thinking is fully behind.
Well, I'm going to say something at this point. I'm trying to, you know, facilitate the conversation rather than the too much of it anyway. But the point is that when I'm looking at this and I say to them, you know, it's really up to those elected officials in my mindset. In other words, I may not want to appoint somebody that's on a town board, or I mean, to me, that would be my decision. But I think, as I think you more or less brought it up, Legislator Eppner, is the idea, why should we be dictating to them on that? Unless it's something that's really clear, we got to make those policies not to allow that. And I don't see, like I said, I'll go back to the other one. I believe the Board of Elections, we should make that policy. That's a policy that we should make. Because they're appointed by parties, and they're not appointed by or elected or appointed by any position within. They're appointed by parties, so therefore we as a group should make that. I don't know if this is, you know, as you brought up with the sheriffs. If I was the sheriff, I would not want my confidential secretary running for office somewhere, and I would probably make that clear to them. If I was a county executive, I felt that there's certain ones that they shouldn't do, I would make that clear to that person. You know, hey, if you want to be appointed here, you're either going to give up the position or whatever. You know, I mean, that's the way I kind of look at it. And for us to dictate that to each one of those elected officials, I don't know. I'm a little iffy on that one.
To answer one of the majority leader's points from earlier, I would be comfortable moving the effective date. I'm not comfortable moving the effective date years down the road, but I'm willing to entertain moving the effective date to January 1st of 2020. So that's to that point about the effective date. I'm open on that. To the chairwoman's point, I feel like there's a little bit of double talk happening when we discuss this, because on one hand, I have been accused multiple times by multiple people of targeting one individual, and that you can't say that and then tell me that it's too broad by including the confidential secretary to the sheriff. That's double talk. Those two things don't coincide. If I was appointing it at one individual, why would I make it broad to include the confidential secretary to the sheriff? I am open to having a discussion about who's a policymaker and who's not in this legislature, and then prohibiting them from holding elective office in the towns, villages, and cities. I'm comfortable with that, if that's what we want to do. I didn't want to see, and I think that you're going to find that the two departments that have the most of those people that are going to be defined as policymakers are going to be the legislature and the executive's office, not the executive departments, but the executive's office in particular. And I'm comfortable with that too, but I was very sensitive about having the accusation levied at me, which has been, that it's targeted against one individual, which it's not. There was actually another individual when I wrote this policy who was working at the Board of Elections. And I believe that, as Dave does, that you shouldn't be an elected official in elections that happen in Ulster County and be working for the Board of Elections, because to me that there's an inherent visible conflict of interest that the public can see. And that's what I'm worried about here. I'm worried about the appearance of impropriety from the public. Is the public feeling like they're getting a fair shake from Ulster County government with, you know, elected officials making decisions at the town level and the county level, when the county administers civil service for all of the towns? You know, anybody who applies for a civil service test and doesn't get it, and, you know, because there are unique circumstances used by the town, you know, they could feel like there's no reason to complain to the personnel department because the fix is in, because so-and-so who's on the town board works for the county in some position that's a position of power or authority or policy. So I'm comfortable with having a conversation about what's a policymaker and what's not, and then we can discuss where these conflicts of interest might lie or might come up or have come up or could come up. I'm comfortable with that.
But I think when you're saying that's double talk, I don't believe that is double talk, because just because one issue, if you feel that it is being done because of this, that doesn't mean that it doesn't have an opposite effect on another end.
No, the double talk is when I'm told on one hand I'm targeting one individual, and on the other hand I'm making it too broad.
But that is,
it can't be too targeted and too broad at the same time. Those are not.
Sure, it could.
No, it couldn't.
Yes, it can be. It can, because if somebody makes a law because you want to target one person, when they make the law, they may also make it so broad that it also covers other problems. It doesn't mean that the intent was not to target one person, because it could still be the intent.
Well, if we want to start targeting intent in this body, I can start having a field day.
All right, well, I'm just giving you the idea. So rather than talk about double talking and things like that, instead of that type of an attack, let's try to push the agenda the way we, in other words, let's try to push the law, if you want to push the law.
Well, I believe that there's going to be a motion to postpone on the table in a moment.
Go ahead.
Also, for the sake of sharing information, another point that was brought up in our caucus.
Well, we can either postpone it or we can vote it down, one or the other.
Well, I'm going to make a motion, but I just want to also just point out to the sponsor just another issue that was, or a question that was brought up, or something to look at, is because, like, under our own ethics law, and we talk about dependents, so should we have the discussion that, you know, a spouse or a child of an appointee, or like, do you go that far, or do you not go, is that too far? So that was another just kind of thing that was brought up out there. But then I'll also, for the sake of moving forward and with all the still, I think, questions people have, or just uncertainty people have, we'll make a motion to postpone.
Okay. Do you want to second the motion to postpone?
I'll second it.
All right, Nate, second it.
On the motion?
On the motion.
I'm obviously, I believe, going to be outvoted on the motion to postpone, at least from my read. So I'll reluctantly vote yes on the motion, just understanding that it's against my,
You're not consenting.
I'm not consenting. Yeah. I'm not consenting to the postponement. And I would ask all of the committee members, including the chair, who comes every month, that I would ask you to bring some ideas or thoughts on what a policymaker is and what isn't. When you've got differing fiduciary responsibilities between the town and the county, and let's have that discussion, because I want to move forward on this because I think it's good policy, not because I'm targeting any one or multiple people. It's a serious concern of mine, and I think that there are specific instances where county residents have felt uncomfortable, engaging with the personnel department because of dual roles. And is that the government we want to run? And I'm comfortable taking that conversation to the public. But I want to work on it and get it right, all the same.
The amendments have been adopted, though, correct?
Yeah.
So the amendments were adopted. So they are adopted and accepted by the sponsor. So on the resolution as amended, there is a motion to postpone, and it's been seconded. All those in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
I'll oppose.
All right. Robert's opposed. Okay, sorry about that. Next one is to establish a Department of Economic Development.
Move it.
Second.
Alrighty, on the resolution, there was a requested amendment, I think, to make it effective January 1st.
It was requested by Legislator Archer, Economic Development. I said at the 36-minute mark, very specifically, that we would, you know, I would consider it. I don't know what the other sponsors feel about that.
I'm not in favor of it. I think that there's no problem making it immediate and making it effective immediately. And you know, with the individual who was just appointed acting, you know, they would be able to be appointed as an acting, you know, for 120 days, which would get us to January 1 anyway, if that's the intention of the county executive. So I think it's I think it should be effective immediately.
Well, my concern with effective immediately is a budgetary process. I mean, where you're in the middle of a budgetary process, why would you end up having some, in other words, have to spend a little extra money for that last month? It makes sense to make it effective January 1st.
Where's the extra money?
Well,
beginning of the new budget.
Hold on.
What's wrong with that? Go ahead.
So, I mean, currently at the moment, it's a department of two. At this exact moment, in terms of, you know, people who have actually been hired at this exact moment, number one. Number two, since I do believe at this exact moment, the acting department head, or the appointed, I guess, department head, who is not a department head, who is, you know, appointed by Mr. Doyle, I guess is now actually serving, I guess, also as director of OET, but she's serving in the line item right now for deputy over in planning, so meaning we're actually now paying money on budget for that position, as opposed to if she was still over at OET, that gets reimbursed, if I remember correctly, 100% by the feds. So that's sort of, we're already burning money. So that's off the table.
Well, there's a lot of questions. We only learned that she was going to continue co-serving at OET and economic development because of a question I asked at Ways and Means last week.
Exactly.
So, we're learning things just by, you know.
All right. So I guess if someone wants to make that amendment,
I don't see any for it. I don't see any increase in dollar amount.
Well, I mean, I always thought that the idea of, you know, under the previous administration, we heard the counter argument to this, which was very specific, and I always felt like it was a misread on why the sponsor put in this resolution, which was to raise the Office of Economic Development to a stature that it deserves and the focus that it deserves as a department in the county. So in that thinking, I think allowing the lead time to potentially put it in the budget and rethink the office, however it might be. It might be more than two people. It might be the concept of a Department of Economic Development would be more funds rather than effective immediately. We know that effective immediately is still going to take a certain amount of time because of the time that the executive has to sign and whatever. But I'd be more comfortable with it.
So you're making the motion?
Yes, I'm making the motion.
You make it effective January 1st?
Yes.
I'll second it.
All right, it's been made and seconded. All right, on the motion to amend to make it effective January 1st.
I'm a no.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Made. Aye.
For a can.
I'm opposed.
All right, so it's 3-3. The amendment does not pass. All right, so on the resolution as...
Not as amended. It is.
As not amended.
Aye.
Robert?
Aye.
Okay. Could you text him?
Ken, it only took us 3 years.
We're getting a lot of long-time items off the agenda.
Yeah.
Legislative Robert Van Lucken, he voted to make government bigger.
It's the same size, it's just the proper place.
I'm going to say reform government. Well,
okay. No texting during class day.
Alrighty, here we go.
Cruising.
Boy, oh boy, are we making headway tonight. Resolution 379. Got three big ones off the docket.
I'll move it.
Local law amending Article 1 of the code.
I'll move it. Second. Sorry. Moved and seconded by Heppner and Rock.
And this is, what is this one again?
This is legislative petites legislation regarding the situation in Saugerties and other places in the county.
I thought that was Mary Warrow's.
This amends the current solid waste law to add construction and demolition debris in a definitively defined way.
On the issue?
Everything is defined differently.
I would like to make an amendment to add the word contaminated before dredge material. It's an issue that's important to Legislator Litz in particular.
Where is that?
That would be
page two.
On page 2 under refuse. Refuse shall mean regulated waste, construction, demolition debris, garbage, rubbish, industrial waste, and contaminated dredge material. With the word contaminated added. I don't know. I've spoken to her about it several times in the past, and I don't believe that she opposes it.
I don't know if it's been seconded, but I would be concerned about doing that for the reason, and then council maybe be able to help us on this. If you define it as contaminated, then in order to apply this definition, you would have to go out and do some form of testing, which is not now specified in this document. And there are different kinds of contamination, so we would have to decide if we're talking about contamination with heavy metals, contamination by DEC approaches, contamination by public health approaches. So I think that it is sufficient and better to leave it as it is, and that in fact that would still be counted as refuse, but it wouldn't necessarily be something you couldn't handle. You see what I mean?
No.
So this is saying that
it
is...
I also have a concern by putting the contaminated, because then you're going to have to specify what is the contamination.
Right, and it would be the same in terms of garbage. I mean, garbage could be bacterially laden or not, but you don't want garbage in certain places. And I think what this section is trying to do is saying that some of these things are considered refuse, whether or not they have any contaminants in them.
So may I pose a hypothetical to Legislator Nolan? Would you consider refuse dredged sand off the coast of Long Island that's used for a beach at Kingston Point? You'd consider that refuse?
I think that the law would consider it refuse as drafted, and that the benefit of that would be that then you could impose certain kinds of testing on refuse before you put it in certain places. So it's like saying that certain volumes of material are not going to be allowed in a town. If you have a small amount of contaminated material and it rains, you're not going to pollute a lot of waterways because it's only 100 cubic yards. But if you have 10,000 cubic yards, then any small amount of contamination in it, if it's throughout the whole material, becomes large amounts. And so I think this is intended to be broad. Now, I'm speaking about this without having talked with the sponsor or talked with council, but we've been having a lot of trouble dealing with these kinds of issues, and the town of Saugerties is currently in court, and one of the key distinctions that the judge is trying to sort out is, does the town have to prove contamination in order to basically enforce its law? And they want not to have to prove contamination. It can be very difficult to prove that something's contaminated. And you have to do a statistically significant sampling of the material, which in larger volumes can mean dozens of tests. And each one of those tests can be very expensive. And what do you test for?
Is the idea that if they're going to be using the sand out at the, for Kingston Point, shall we say, I think the city would be involved in that anyway, and they're welcoming it. In the case of Saugerties, they want to make sure that it's not bringing in trash and such to a facility.
Right, but this isn't a Saugerties law. This is a county law. I mean, they're already violating Saugerties laws.
I'm using that.
They're just going to violate this law, too, but I'm not going to... ahead. I withdraw my motion.
Just for clarification, Chapter 304, Solid Waste Article 1, Section 304.2 currently defines refuse as garbage, rubbish, industrial waste, and dredge material.
So I understand.
Yeah, it's currently in the
definition. I understand, and they're currently bringing in refuse for beaches in Ulster County.
So the issue would be, can you write your law in such a way that you allow people to bring in the kind of fill material you want and you exclude other kinds? The reason that dredge material would be considered, in my view, a suspect kind of material is that when you dredge, you get whatever's in that, and you really don't know. You stick a claw in and you get whatever it pulls out. And similarly with garbage and rubbish and industrial waste. So if there's a place where you can be certain that it's not that, then maybe we should exempt that thing. Because I'm all for bringing in something that we really know is clean fill.
Yep.
But most dredging material, I would not view as that.
All right, well, I will withdraw my motion for the time being. Right. And I'll allow Legislator Litz, who has, you know, experiences and certifications that I do not, maybe better explain what his concerns are. And maybe there's a way we can find, you know...
On the resolution, then, the amendment was withdrawn on the resolution.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Anyone opposed? None. Carried. Not answering yet. Mm-hmm. All righty. This is the one, local law amending local law number 2, local law requiring restaurants, fast food services, establishing establishments providing plastic beverage straws solely unresponsible to include plastic stirrers, plastic cutlery, and condiment packets.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Moved and seconded for discussion. Alrighty, what's the discussion? Go ahead.
I believe I would like to make a motion to postpone. Legislator Maloney was agreed.
No. Do I have a second for the postponement? Do I have a second for the postponement?
I guess I'll second it.
All right. First and second for the postponement. On the postponement.
On the postponement, I do not support the postponement. You know, realizing that there are not going to be 12 votes at the legislative meeting is not a sufficient reason to postpone a resolution in committee, in my opinion.
Well, there's a motion to postpone, and
Dave, I say we got to take immediate action on this. This is a serious environmental issue. We got all kinds of letters that want us to take action tonight.
Oh.
And you're voting to postpone it.
You know,
I always love you there, buddy. Senator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I'm really pleased to have seen here my last days in this body words that I just never thought I would hear come out of the mouth of the deputy chair, let alone the minority leader of the Ulster County Legislature. Thank you for that. It's warmed the cackles of my heart.
All right, on the legislators' cackles, are we the postponement is made and seconded? All those in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Any opposed? Postponement carried.
My friends in San Francisco are going to be upset.
Nay. At least people will be able to still skip the straw without skipping everything else.
I thought we already fought the Great Ketchup War.
It's still
we've won the ketchup war, but no, ketchup is allowed for passive distribution.
Condiments are allowed for passive distribution.
I am willing to sing the very home companion ketchup song if anyone would like.
I don't think so. Not in committee. They could spend the floor of legislature for a match. Yeah.
Are we done, Dave?
No.
You didn't want to waste your time tomorrow night.
I mean, hey, you could always have done a motion to reconsider when you have 12 votes in the room.
Huh?
You could always do a motion to reconsider when you have 12 votes in the room rather than rather than waste this committee's time next month.
All right. Resolution 381.
Not going to change anything.
Basically to change the term limits from 12 years to 8 years.
I'll move it for discussion.
Alrighty, vote for discussion. Seconded for discussion?
No.
Hey, Kevin, second for discussion.
I'll second it.
Alrighty, go ahead. On to discussion.
At this time, as the sponsor's not here to go and defend his resolution, I move to postpone resolution.
Second.
Alrighty. All those, the postponement has been made and seconded. All those in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Another example of stalling good government.
Why didn't you do you support this?
With an amendment.
What's the amendment? And
I would like to see it made that you can't serve 8 consecutive years. You can skip a term and then come back in your...
I have an idea. We passed a term limits law last month. Why not just
pass another term limits law?
I feel like...
Which is why... Don't vote to postpone it. We can just defeat it and get done.
I'm going to let Joe get the chance to go and defend
himself. I'm going to allow legislator... But I'm...
Don't you want things off your agenda, Dave?
Yeah, I would.
He's having a good day. Still batting over 500.
It's a little aggravating, but I got to deal with it.
I'm going to let Joe defend himself.
That's what I get paid the big bucks for.
He'll be over 500 tonight by the time we get to the next one.
All right. 401.
Move.
Second.
Sustainable Energy Loan Program to extend that. It's been moved and seconded. Anyone want to speak on the issue? Or you just want to vote?
I'm going to be a no, but I'm going to send it to the floor.
Alrighty.
Can I ask Legislator Ronk, someone said there was some confusion about the organization, but it's Energize New York. It's not. And they're still in function. They had a board meeting on the 11th, I want to say.
Who's our board member?
I don't think we have a board member, but every community doesn't have a board member. But I don't know that 100% sure, but if you energize,
I've always had questions about this, you know, including whether or not they have even closed a single deal since we joined them several years ago.
They have not.
Not
in Ulster, but they have closed other deals. They've closed deals in Orange and in Western.
I have been uncomfortable with this organization. I continue to be uncomfortable with this organization. I'm going to continue to be a no.
Okay, no, right, I just wanted to understand, but the organization is still in...
First, I'd like to offer an amendment to change the time to 6:15.
I'll second that.
Okay. Second.
Legislator Mahler wanted it at 6:15. All those in favor?
She's our most productive legislator.
Won't even start about staff.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? No.
By the way, which staff person was it?
No, it's a matter of bookkeeping. We're sure that we...
I'm just curious as to which staff member. Well, which staff member?
It was me. I was working as a secretary. I had two jobs in there.
You have two jobs? Okay.
Yeah, you guys
want to
ban that too, don't you?
If we could ban Dave, I would
have done it already. Good looking secretary like Nate.
On the resolution.
On the resolution.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Carried.
Seeing no further business, I move we adjourn unless there's anybody else that has any other
business. Second.
Those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.